You're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the West End Community Church. On behalf of Pastor Matt and myself, I want to welcome you here to church this morning. We trust that you had a good holiday season with your families, even though it's been a little bit different, obviously, this year. We wish you the best for the new year, and we look forward to the time when we can be here together worshiping face-to-face once again. Until that time, we're thankful that you can join us to listen in as Pastor Matt brings us the message this morning.
Well, good morning or good afternoon once again, whenever you find yourself listening in to this message. Yeah, Pastor Matt here again, thanking you for joining us this week as we continue to walk through God's Word, letting it shape our lives together. And also, as Pastor Myron just said, a big welcome to all of you to the new year. 2021 is officially upon us, and this last year definitely ended up being one that we will remember for a long time to come. But we made it. We've come through to the other side, and we're still here. And I'm thankful that even though there has been and still is so much frustration and concern over things happening in the world, that we as a people still have the ability to laugh, smile, love one another and care for each other and be thankful for the lives that we've been given. I've appreciated a lot of the humor that's been shared with me and many others over the last few weeks and few days specifically, hearing jokes about what this Christmas will be like, and now hearing jokes about New Year's resolutions and how they are so very different from last year to this year. We're seeing resolutions that have changed from, for example, someone wanting to update their wardrobe to simply this year deciding to only wear sweatpants 4 days a week. Wanting to travel more versus simply wanting to visit with a neighbor. People wanting to exercise and get into shape versus deciding to only eat pizza and watch movies on the weekends. Different things like this, all presented in good fun, which has been a blessing to me as it shows that people haven't let this year beat them down. There's still cause to be joyful. There's still opportunity to stay lighthearted and enjoy what we have around us. But yet, there's still some hesitancy in our outlook moving into 2021. Someone shared a funny cartoon this last week that made me laugh of a group of people looking at a door labeled 2021. And instead of walking through it confidently, they're all hiding around a corner trying to poke the door open with a stick to cautiously see what it holds. And as much as it made me laugh and I shared it with Beth, I couldn't help but see the ironic truth that the image depicted. Where New Year's normally comes with excitement and great expectation for a new year, new goals, new plans, this year has a bit of a cloud hanging over it. The typical emotions and thoughts we have been replaced by questions of, is it over yet? How much longer? Why can't we? When will we? Why don't we? Type of questions and concerns and anticipations. And so it seems fitting that as we enter the new year, after having taken last week to reflect and look backward, we take some time today to look forward. And to do so through the lens of what God's Word tells us and promises us. So if you would join me in Jude once again this week, I would love to pray for all of us, and then we will look to be edified by God's Word together once again. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for seeing us through this last year. Lord, we are thankful for that every year, regardless of what it brings. And this year definitely gave us all a shared experience that we'll be talking about together for a long time, but God, your sovereignty has remained. Your truth has endured. And I just pray that we as your people would walk boldly and confidently into this new year in light of who you are. I ask that today, as we look at your word together, that it would speak to us, that we would see the depths and riches of who you are and your love for us and how you keep and sustain us. God, let us hold on to that. Please bless us this morning. Let your word and your truth be what is presented and shared in this message. Let our hearts be open to receive your truth. Let us be edified together. In your name we pray. Amen. So today, we're going to be looking at the doxology of Jude, the last two verses of the book. Would you read them with me right now? Starting in verse 24, it reads, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence, without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen." Now, that should sound very familiar to all of us listening today who attend West End Community Church regularly. It's a doxology that Pastor Myron often uses as a word of benediction to close services. I'm personally a very big fan of that, and I never tire of hearing these words. It's such an incredible promise for God's people, and I hope that it resonates with you as we look at these two verses together right now. First off, I want to remind us of the context in which these words were written, what's happening in this letter. Jude is the author, right, believed to be the half-brother of Jesus. And who he's writing to in a geographical sense, we don't really know, but we know that he's writing to believers who are dealing with the issues of division and misleading teaching that is coming from false teachers who use God as a means for personal gain, and from those who would teach worldly wisdom and worldly things. And Jude does not hold back in stating what the consequences of these things are, the division and false teaching. And he does not pull punches when it comes to speaking of the fates of those who would mislead people. But his opening of the letter is also of importance, as it causes us to turn our gaze in a certain direction. When he declares who he is writing to, he says, "To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ." Last week we discussed how this does an interesting thing of making us look back as we look back in our lives to our calling, an event previously taken place to bring us to where we are now as God's children. We then read that we are loved by God. This allows us to look at the present, that in the midst of everything happening around us, God's love for us remains. And then we look forward, as it tells us that we will be kept by Jesus. And last week we took the time to reflect, to look back at where we have come from, to see if we have lived up to the calling that we've been given, as shown in verses 17 to 23. We saw that God's love sustains and equips us for such things. And so in looking at the doxology this week, and as we enter a new year, we're going to be looking forward in light of what that means, of what it means to be kept by Christ. And there are two primary things that I want us to see in the text today: God's ability and God's glory. Now let's get started with the first one. Our God is able. I shouldn't have to say much more than that for our hearts to be filled with confidence and joy, right? But what does it say here that he is able to do? Well, he's able to keep us from falling. And we want to make note of what, in light of that, of what Jude says in verse 1, those who are called are kept. We have to clarify that this isn't a safety net for people to not lose their faith, right? This is a concept that is worked through throughout the Bible and a topic of discussion that we could have on another day, or if you want to talk to myself or Pastor Myron about it. But if we look at Jesus' parable, even of the sower in Matthew 13, it tells us that our faith will either have root or it won't. So what then is Jude implying in his words of keeping us from falling? Well, similar language is used in the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, that sheds some light on this. And that verse reads, "Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall." Well, how does one make their call sure? What things do we do? And the things that are being talked about in 2 Peter, the verses that surround that one verse, that passage as a whole, they discuss the same thing, albeit worded slightly differently, as what Jude presents in verses 17 to 23. Building up your faith, learning more about who God is, seeking Him and letting that shape your very being. Praying in the Spirit, being led by God in all that we do as we live submissively under His authority. Keeping ourselves in His love. Loving obedience. And our response and our way of living. Caring for each other, building up your brothers and sisters in the faith, caring for and seeking out the lost, making our faith about more than just us, about our position and our stance, and recognizing that our salvation or election isn't earned, it's freely received. And all of this is in response to that. God is able to keep us from failing in these things. When they seem daunting, He equips us with strength and the courage needed. When our memory fails us and we forget to make time for Him because we misprioritize things, He is gracious and finds ways to remind and convict us. And when we fail to love each other the way that we ought to, His love remains. And the conviction that finds us in that moment hits hard. Jude here is talking about all of these things, our daily walk, and how often in that walk we stumble and fall. We make mistakes and find ourselves trapped by sin. But when this happens, God's forgiveness is available. For those who are repentant, who confess their wrongdoing, His love is waiting. Even when we continuously fall in disobedience, God lovingly disciplines us. We see this in Hebrews 12, right, where it says he treats us as His sons, as children, disciplining us that we might be kept. Because none of His children or His flock will be taken from Him. Warren Wiersbe says of the matter, if we want to keep our feet on the ground spiritually, walk straight and not stumble, then we must yield ourselves fully to the Savior. He alone is able to guard us, but we must keep ourselves in the love of God, as it says in verse 21, end quote. In keeping ourselves in His love, He will keep us forever. And in His keeping of us, He sanctifies us. That word simply just meaning to be cleansed. Sanctification is the process of being made holy. Peter, once again, in his writings, speaks well of this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 to chapter 2, verse 5, where he talks about ridding ourselves of malice, deceit, hypocrisy, slander, sin, etc., to crave that which is good, pure spiritual milk, and to know that all of these things, putting off the old ways and pursuing what is good, is only doable through Jesus. And in looking at this event as it takes place in our lives, Peter says in chapter 2, verse 5, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood." I think it's important to note that we are being built. The construction is not yet completed. It's continuous throughout our lives as God chastens us, directs us as we follow him. He is able if we are willing. Do we willingly follow? And that work, our sanctification, the thing that the Spirit is doing in us, is only completed once we finally shrug off this earthly dwelling. When our time here in this life is done, that is when the work is finished. That is when sanctification becomes sanctified, becomes glorified. Because remember that he keeps us, he sanctifies us, and ultimately, he saves us. If we look at God's word as we keep ourselves in his love, right, and we are led to the cross of Jesus Christ, in it, we should see our own sin, our shortcomings, our selfishness, our pride, being the things that led him to that place. And then we ought to be thankful and believe that the grave did not hold him. And then we are saved. That's the gospel. To know that our brokenness led God to leave perfection, become a man, to die for you and me, and to not be held by that grave, but to rise again. That life, true and full life, could be ours. And this, as much as it is our great joy to receive this gospel, it's Christ's even more so, as he is the one who on the day of days will present his bride, his people, blameless before the throne. So we've looked at what God can and does do in securing and saving his people. We've seen all the things he is able to do, and now we want to see the how and the why. The picture of our God painted in verse 25 is something else for sure. And having looked at how our God is able, his ability, we now want to look at the second point we brought up earlier. We want to look at his glory. He is the only God. Glory, majesty, power, and authority are his. Majesty, which means greatness or significance, right? Only our God is great. Only he is above all, the king above all kings, the Lord of lords. God's power, his dominion, reminds us that all things are his. His sovereignty is unquestionable over all of creation. And his authority means that he has every right to exercise his power as he deems necessary. And now, mentioned lastly, even though it's written first in the text, glory. Our God is glorious. It's his very being. His glory stresses his splendor and nature. Majesty stresses his position, power, his ability, and his authority, the fact that he has the absolute right to do so. All of these qualities have always been his and always will be his. They were his in the creation of all things, you and I included. That is how he is able to keep us. Nothing is or will be that is not of his making. The end of the story has been written since before the beginning of time. I'm sure there's some people among us in our congregation or those more abroad who are listening who, when reading a book, like to read the end first so that they know what's going to happen before they commit to reading a full book. I know a few people like this, and though I myself don't do that, spoiler alert, if you haven't read to the end of your Bible, God wins. His promises for his people, for his creation, come to fruition. Punishment and justice for the wicked is sure. And so as we prepare to go back to Revelation in the weeks to come, I don't want us to be nervous or intimidated by it. I know that often people can be by very interesting and terrifying imagery that is brought about in that book. The imagery, though, that we see that scares people so often is not for those who are kept. We will be given the endurance to make it, and when the judgment comes and all things are brought to account, what does Jude tell us? We will be presented without fault, blameless. And so as you look into the new year, I don't want us to be nervous about that either or intimidated by it. Because our God is the God. His power and authority are at work now as always. And so as we look forward into this year, as you make your resolutions for it, if that's the sort of thing you're into, let me ask you a question. Did you resolve to put your faith more fully in the Savior? Did you resolve to invest more heavily in the study of His Word, in the sharing of His love, in keeping ourselves in Him? Do we believe that He truly is powerful and able? If so, let me borrow a quote that I just saw last night before bed after finishing working on this message. If you believe in Him, if you believe in His power, then, and I quote, "If you can trust Jesus with your eternity, why not start by trusting Him with your 2021? I've been praying and will continue to pray that we won't be so quick to rush back into just the way things were. I know the way things were looks awfully appealing right now. I know we miss a number of the things we used to have, but rather I hope that our desire would be to be better this year. That we would be willing to throw away old habits and routines that kept us from knowing God more, that kept us from sharing Him with others, that kept us living fearfully, and that we would look to be presented in God's glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Why? Again, not because we have to earn anything, but simply because our God is glorious and worthy. The five solas declared in the Reformation, I wonder if you know them, the five doctrinal pillars that our faith is built upon are this. 5 points. First, we are saved by grace alone, not anything we earn. Secondly, through faith alone, putting our full trust in God. Third, by Jesus Christ alone, recognizing the complete work at the cross. Fourth, according to the word of God alone, because it is trustworthy and God-breathed. And fifth and lastly, and most importantly, for the glory of God alone. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, according by Jesus alone, according to the word of God alone, for God's glory alone. All that we should do, all that we do should be for Him. All the praise and glory for His name's sake. So let me ask you this year, and hopefully in the years to follow, as we look forward, will you resolve to let your life be a song of praise to our God? Will you emulate that which we were given in the life of Jesus to follow? Will you be a living act of worship? Not for your own attention, not for people to think much of you, but for His glory, to bring glory to His name. Will we keep ourselves in his love, pray in the Spirit, care for one another, reach out and recognize who he is and sing his praises, never losing that awe that I feel like we sometimes have? Will we do these things? Will you? Will I? Will we do this together? Let's find accountability in each other this year. Let's spur each other on, building each other up, encouraging one another. And let's see revival in God's people this year. Amen. Thank you for joining us again today. Let's pray as we finish up this message. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the lives that you have given all of us. And though when our lives get put on hold, there is valid frustration, hurt, and pain that takes place in that, God, let us never lose focus on who you are, on how you are able to keep us, Lord, to sustain us in our pursuit of you, to present us on that day faultless and blameless. What a mighty God we serve. Let us praise you with our every breath, Lord, every day this year, regardless of what it brings us. Let us take captive every thought. Let us walk forward with praise on our tongues. Let us be a people who are different. And let's see revival in the church and a growing in the number of God's people this year. Let that be our hope. Let that be our resolution. Let that be our pursuit and our call this year as we seek to serve you and follow you. God, give us the courage to do so well. Give us the fortitude to know when to look to your word, to submit ourselves fully to it, and to find encouragement in our brothers and sisters. God, I thank you so much for your love. I pray that we would all feel it this year. In your name we pray. Amen. Once again, as was said, thank you so much for joining us. We can't wait to be able to worship with you all together in person again. We look forward to that day. And in the meantime, know that Pastor Myron and myself are praying for you. We miss you and we love you. Have a good week.